Yo, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'm the franchise player, Double B Bad Blood. I'm joined by Double J, Josh James, and the Drew Nicholas. We're here live with the AEW Dynamite recap. And how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
We lost in trivia, but you know, I mean, at least Center didn't win.
Yeah.
So
who won better? Really?
I was gonna say that we're all happy, but I think Drew's not.
Alliance to End Center Mania is in full effect. Where we stopped him once again. We have stopped him from winning trivia.
Listen, I'm gonna shut up because I don't want. I'm happy that Finner and Hater have this weird thing going on right now, and it's not me.
You better shut up before Sinner comes back here. Before Hater comes back and jumps back on the Drew wagon.
Well, Drew, you are the only one here. Sinner's gone, so technically
you're, yeah.
All right, he's got to cling on to the next gay guy.
So let's go ahead and let's get into this, because we got Paige Strickland rubber match number 3. Adam Page looking like Magnum TA,
right?
This whole thing is just first. Let me start off. This is Sting's final Dynamite, and like I said earlier tonight, if you're watching the recap show, the trivia show this Friday live on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast on the Rewind, we're going to be watching Sting versus Ric Flair Clash of the Champions number 1 for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. It is from March 27th, 1988. The very first Clash of Champions, the match that made Sting. I mean, I cannot stress it enough with you guys. This is one of the greatest matches I've ever seen in my entire wrestling life. It made me want to be a professional wrestler. Like, I was an NWA guy from day one, and because of guys like Sting, Magnum TA, Nikita Koloff, you know, Total Package, Lex Luger, Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, the Freebirds, the Road Warriors, you know, the Midnight Express, you know, that's when maybe want to be a wrestler. And Sting has been a very big part of that. Yeah. Sting's final match is going to be in a couple of days. But Sting's final Dynamite was tonight. And I'm going to tell you, being one half of the World Tag Team Champions, tonight Sting did something we haven't seen Sting do in a long time. And we'll get to that when we get to that. But yeah, so like I said, starting it off, we had an in-ring promo. The segment was great. Adam Page opened the show, walked out using a crutch. We all thought he was going to be like, that was it. He said he would not be able to compete at Revolution, which led Swerve and Prince Nana to come out. Swerve actually was like, yo, I respect everything you've done in AEW, Adam Page, but now it's my time to be champion. Samoa Joe comes out. Swerve yelled at Joe, and Adam Page attacked Swerve from behind with the crutch, beat him down. Said he is going to be in the match for the World Championship. So the main event, the AEW World Championship match is still a triple threat.
Yep.
Adam Page, Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland. What do you think about that, Josh?
My guess is, like, I think it was Drew that told us that Adam Page was injured last week. So my guess is that he was never injured. They just wanted to build up this triple threat match. I'm excited to see how this will turn out. I don't think Joe is going to lose the belt, but I'm expecting a great match. I did like the segment, and made me look forward to their match.
What about you, the Drew Nicholas?
That was me that said that, because okay, as a result, I found out that Jerry Lynn blocked all, including moi. I caught a stray, so Jerry Lynn blocked me. Because he was upset that Fightful reported that that Hangman was actually fine last week. it was a funny thing to talk about in the Fightful group chat.
Oh, you mean to tell me that you guys got hit with the blocking of Jerry Lynn, which means I'm probably gonna get hit with it too, because you know
he didn't block me
by proxy. But no, you got blocked.
Well, I have Fightful in my bio. So.
Yeah, you got blocked by Jerry Lynn because of the Fightful in your bio, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, the Drew Nicholas is a mod for Fightful Select, Fightful.com. And because of a honest report, you got hit with a stray bullet. That's cold-blooded, man.
If it makes you feel better, Drew.
I think I must be something now that I'm catching strays like
that. Welcome to catching the strays, my guy.
Drew, if it makes you feel any better, I got blocked by Dave Meltzer and Johnny Gargano.
Johnny Gargano?
Yeah. Why did Gargano block you?
Because I told him that you sucked.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'd block you too.
I like Tommaso Ciampa better than Johnny.
Wow.
So, this segment did everything that it needed to. He's a heel now. And Swerve is the babyface. And that's what this segment was supposed to do. It was supposed to show that Swerve, I wouldn't classify Swerve as a full-on babyface.
No.
Because he would still do the thing, like he mentioned in the promo, he would still break into somebody's house and he would still, you know, go after someone the way that he's gone after Hangman. But I'm just really, really enjoying this new little heel turn of Hangman's a lot. I'm very much on board with this, and I liked Hangman using Joe as a swerve to attack Swerve. So this was wonderful for me.
For me, like the whole turn. I mean, I've been saying it for weeks. The Hangman is getting more aggressive.
Oh yeah.
And then the Bucks turn heel. So of course Hangman's gonna turn heel now. You know, Kenny Omega's out right now. It is what it is. But let's get to the first match of the show. Jesus Christ, FTR, Eddie Kingston, Blackpool Combat Club. This match lived up to the hype. I mean, shit. All six of these guys are tough as nails dudes. Okay, yeah. You know, on Rampage, Rampage, on Collision, we had the American Dragon, Brian Danielson versus Junior Akimata. I can never say his name right. Jun Akimata. There it is. And after that match was over, they shook hands, and Kingston was on commentary. And at one point, Danielson went to shake Akimata's hand again and kicked him in the dick. So that brought in Kingston, because you know that was Kingston, one of Kingston's idols. And now they're really building this story between those two to make it make you give a shit about this. But for me, the Brian Danielson Eddie Kingston match, I've seen it already. I don't really care too much about it. I hope Eddie Kingston doesn't lose the championships, but if he does, he does. But Claudio Castagnoli and Moxley versus Dax and Cash, bro, that match is going to smoke everything on the show. I mean, the only thing I'm looking for now is like the EVPs versus Sting and Darby, but this match is the one that I really want to watch. This is the reason why I'm going to be ready to watch that show on Sunday night. Because FTR, BCC, dude, this last week they went to the draw, literally down to the wire. This, they're bringing tag team wrestling to a whole new level. I love the fact that tonight, it's like the tag teams, they broke off, and Bryan Danielson did knock out Eddie Kingston. Everyone hit their finisher. Kingston got the biggest pop of the night though. Which is really crazy because that's hard to compare when like Wild Thing comes on, like that gets a huge pop. Moxley and Wheeler headbutting each other, that was a good spot too. Kingston trying to shield Dax from all three members of BCC, that was really good. But the triple sleeper spot, that was for the first time. You know, I hate when they do Tower of Doom spots and they do that everyone hits their finisher spot, but that triple sleeper, that was money. Husky's Funhouse is following us. Thank you for following us, Husky's Funhouse.
What up?
So, yeah, man, this match for me, BCC defeats FTR and Eddie Kingston. I give it an A+, man. It was like a fucking good match. And with Brian Danielson putting Kingston to sleep, we all know Kingston's not losing the title now. What do you think about that, Drew?
Well, it's unfortunate because as much as I love Eddie Kingston, I love Brian Danielson more. So I actually do want Bryan Danielson to win. You know, as Jeremy Lambert says, imagine thinking Bryan Danielson ate the fucking goat.
Yeah.
That man, I think for his, if this truly is his last year, I think he deserves the titles. Just go on one run with the titles to close it out. I think that's going to be, that will be very special. And going to Forbidden Door, which will be in Queens this year at Arthur Ashe Stadium, there's a potential for a hell of a rematch with Zack Sabre Jr. For those titles. That would be really amazing.
I would hate for Zack Sabre Jr. to win the titles because he's a douchebag.
I don't think he would win. But now that I get to go to a Forbidden Door, that's like a bucket item.
A bucket item, yeah.
You know, that's like something I get to check off. So I will. I'm thinking Kingston's probably going to end up winning, but I would love to see Danielson win. And then in regards to the other matches, FTR versus Claudio and Moxley, Cash has got himself into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
So I feel like this might be not a permanent swan song, but
we know
a goodbye for a little bit, so this way Cash can go and deal with that issue, and hopefully doesn't go to prison for that.
Yeah, we kind of knew it was you, Shane. Hence the Husky last name. Not many
people I had a feeling that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But I am looking forward to both of those matches.
Yeah, it was this is actually going to be a good pay-per-view. And I'm liking the way so far, the way the show has been progressing with the go-home portion of it. I'm kind of liking it. Speaking of liking it, today we got Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay came out to the ring, so excited, so happy. Fans were popping for him hard. You know, he's popping for the fans. But then he said something like, I've been rolling pretty hard with the Don Callis family, and the crowd booed the shit out of that. which brings out Don Callis, Will Hobbs, and Tinosuke Takeshita. And the stare down between Takeshita and I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched AEW in a month or so. Yeah, you're missing out on some good shit. Takeshita will I'm looking forward to this Will Ospreay Takeshita match. Like this, that's going to be it's going to be like a barn burner. It's going to be an instant classic. It's going to be something fucking amazing. I can tell you right now. Both those guys are amazing. But what I'm not looking forward to is why. I mean, we all know that Ospreay is going to become, he's going to be a face. He's going to be a big baby face. But what about the United Empire?
Well, one of them is injured.
Yeah, Mark Davis is injured.
So
Aussie Open, and one of them is the Ring of Honor television champion right now, Kyle Fletcher.
Right, yeah.
Or should I say, Kyle Blue, because you know Sky Blue owns him.
so the and whoever Will Ospreay is with, my goodness, he's
his best. Wife.
Ooh, I'm jealous of her as well. I'm looking forward to the match because I know it's going to be a great match, but it's probably also the least I'm looking forward to in a sense, only because
really
there's
no stakes.
Yeah, this is like one of the only ones that's just a match that's there and somebody's got to lose, and it's going to be Takeshita. So that's unfortunate for Takeshita. What I hope to come from this is that everybody turns on Will Ospreay.
That's going to happen.
And then Kyle comes out and Kyle either joins with Will or continues to be against him. I you know, we'll see what happens there. But
no, it's gonna be Chris Jericho coming out and save Will. Please,
I don't see that. I honestly do see, and I kind of understand where you're going with that, Drew. I think that we will have Aussie Open will return, and we'll have that whole United Empire click. But there'll be faces, and they'll be facing off against.
That would be a very good trio for the
because they literally have nothing for the Don Callis family right now. But the whole Don Callis family got together was to get rid of Kenny Omega. Omega's gone.
Yeah.
So now they have nothing. They're just there chilling.
I'm gonna be straight up honest. I completely forgot all about Don Callis.
Exactly. Because once that storyline was over, they were like, oh. Yeah, what does it matter now?
Well, he's been in the conversation now. Like, they just had the Sammy and Will Hobbs match.
Yeah, but
last week
that's just Sammy and Will Hobbs. That's just Sammy.
That was an incredible match.
That was, but
But the big problem, and you know, it's unfortunate to say this, but the big problem is Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho sucks the fun out of everything.
Oh well, don't worry, we'll get to the Chris Jericho in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. Next up, the AEW, do better. That's all I'm going to say is AEW, do better. Because when you say we have an AEW International Championship Open Challenge, usually an open challenge means that, like, the champion comes down and whoever from the back decides to come out and does a challenge, right? You don't advertise it on social media days before and then say it's an open challenge. Oh my God, who's going to come out here? Nick Wayne comes out. You know how I know Nick Wayne was going to come out before he came out? Because I saw the advert on Facebook earlier in the day. I saw it on Twitter yesterday. So you can't have an open challenge with, why don't you just say an international championship match? Nick Wayne versus Orange Cassidy. AEW, do better. Just do better.
Did they not say that he answered the open challenge?
No. No. They literally announced on the show, it's an open challenge. Who's going to come out and challenge him? And I'm like, Nick Wayne, because, well, Nick Wayne, you know, they posted the advert like on on Monday. Here it is Wednesday, and you're like, hope it's out. I said, did Nick Wayne get hurt? Is he not going to be there? Like, come on, do better. Do better. So like I gotta say, that's like me saying, hey, guess what? There's an open challenge at work tomorrow. I'm going to go to work. I mean, I'm going to accept the open challenge at work. And then you're like, well, of course you are. You work there every day. Like, it would make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
Should have been Father Christian. Oh my God. You know, we'll get with Christian, that motherfucker. But
they could have promoted it saying like Orange Cassidy is doing an open challenge, and they could have made like a Twitter or TikTok or Instagram video of Christian saying that, you know what, my son Nick Wayne accepts your challenge and he's going to take that international title and bring it to me, and we're going to add more gold to the family.
It would have been even better if Christian would have came out, would have walked, got in the ring in his wrestling gear, like, you know what, Orange Cassidy, I accept your challenge for my Nick, son Nick Wayne.
Nick, go get him.
Oh man. But anyway, this match actually was really good. Like right from the gate, dude, Nick Wayne just went right at him right from the gate. This was a pretty good match. The headlock takeover crap, like, come on, dude. You start out hot and heavy, and you're gonna break down the chain wrestling. That's stupid. But it is what it is. So Orange Cassidy retained the championship in a relatively good match after the patriarchy got kicked out from ringside. Anyway, it was a good match.
That made that referee smart.
Yeah.
When you
Orange Cassidy wins the match. Yeah. Orange Cassidy wins the match. Roderick Strong attacks him out of nowhere. Best friends in the Undisputed Kingdom go at it, blah, 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 blah. I give the match a B. Because, I mean, it was Orange Cassidy and it's Nick Wayne. They could have had really great matches, but this whole thing was to push the Roderick Strong attack and to build to the pay-per-view. I like how they're trying to build certain matches where you actually start caring about it. But honestly, I don't give a shit about this match between Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy.
No, I don't really care either. I'm way more interested in Daniel Garcia and Christian Cage.
Yes, that's going to be good.
Which they also continue to build to tonight in this match.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. I kind of feel like Roddy's going to beat Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah. They need to rebuild that whole Undisputed Kingdom. I mean, you got the tag team champions already, Ring of Honor tag champions. You can go ahead and give him the international championship, and then that will leave the world title or the TNT title or whatever for Wardlow and Adam Cole. But the whole injury with Adam Cole and MJF being gone, like that storyline fizzled real quick. The Devil storyline is dead.
Yeah, that's really a shame.
Yeah, the whole Devil MJF feud voted worst feud of the year.
Yeah, Wrestling Observer. I mean, honestly though, let's look back. You had ups and hatches. MJF and CM Punk, MJF and Hangman Adam Page, MJF and whoever else. Those are great storylines. Then you come to this, the Devil storyline is like it fizzled faster than sparklers at the 4th of July. It was just once.
I think it coincided with people starting to get annoyed at the amount of wrestling that MJF was doing, because he was a like 4-time-a-year wrestler, only wrestling at the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. And then from every week.
All In on, he was wrestling like weekly and sometimes 2 times in 1 week.
Also, yeah. The Devil storyline just took too long.
It did.
There's that too. It did take.
You know, the let it play out stuff, they played it out way too goddamn long.
They wanted, I think, I liked how they used it to show that Adam Cole wanted to really beat down MJF by making him wrestle so much. But I think it counteracted itself and it made people not want to see it as much anymore. And then I think too, like Adam Cole getting injured in the middle of this didn't help, obviously.
Do you think they were taking it too long because they were thinking like, oh, Adam Cole is going to get better soon. And next thing you know,
MJF ended up getting injured.
Yeah. Too. So
I feel like if both of them were healthy and there was no, I think probably what happened is at World's End, or not at World's End, at Grand Slam, when Adam Cole got injured, if that didn't happen, the Full Gear pay-per-view is when what happened at World's End was going to happen. So it happened like a whole pay-per-view afterwards because of the injury. I think it would have happened a month prior, which would have been fresher in people's minds, and it wouldn't have dragged out too long, and people wouldn't have hated it.
Yeah,
but the injury, the combined injuries of both people in the storyline, dragged it out to World's End, and MJF hasn't been on TV at all since then, which I think is the right call.
Yeah, let him heal. Let him heal. Mm-hmm. But then we had a match that, and I know why they're doing this. It's to get women on TV because, you know, once Mercedes shows up, she's going to demand that women get their time on TV, which is good. Finally, it will have a good women's division at AEW. But Chris Statlander versus Sky Blue in the rubber match in their series because they were 1-1 over the course of their career against each other. Sky Blue with the TBS women's champion, Julia Hart. And you got Chris Statlander along with Stokely Hathaway and Willow Nightingale. Match was actually pretty decent. There were a couple botches, but at the beginning, like you can see how Chris Statlander was showing her her power. But dude, she has a great kip up, man. Great kip up.
When Mercedes Moné shows up, you'll see more botches.
Wow. Damn. Okay. Tell us how you really feel, Josh. The match is actually pretty good. I'm going to give it a B. Sky Blue defeats Chris Statlander due to outside shenanigans. Stokely. Okay, so last week, Willow Nightingale lost to Sky Blue because Stokely tried to, you know, do a, like, hey, we should cheat to win the match. Well, this week he did the same thing. He pulled out a chain. Referee saw him. Chris Statlander looked over like, what the fuck are you doing? Chris gets hit with the I don't know what the code, what she called, the code blue. Which, by the way, the way she goes into that finisher is so fucking smooth. Like, to just spring off the ropes, jump on someone's back, hit a cool red like that. Dude, that's so smooth. Shout out to Sky Blue for that. But it was a good match. I liked the dynamic with Stokely and Willow Nightingale I see Chris Statlander turning heel.
I was going to say the opposite for me. I was going to say I could see Willow turning heel.
No.
I don't know why, but just for some odd reason, just like for me, I was thinking that.
Well, the funny thing is, I did want that originally when she was starting to kind of teeter to the dark side a little bit.
That's what I was thinking of.
I don't think Willow, but see, Willow wouldn't be good as a heel because she's so. Okay, so you guys are wrestling fans.
People didn't think Takeshita was going to be a good heel.
Oh, I knew he would be a good heel. I knew he'd be a good heel for two reasons. One, they always play the Japanese bad guy. Japanese wrestler is always the bad guy. He's always like a monster heel. So playing off into the stereotype, yeah. But also the fact that him and Okada are pretty much like one and the same when it comes to their wrestling style. You know what I mean? And if Okada's like this big face, when Okada came to AEW, of course they're going to catch the heel. And him having a mouthpiece like Cyrus the Virus, a.k.a. fucking Don Callis, anybody, Josh can be a heel with Don Callis as his mouthpiece. Drew, you're the nicest guy I know. You can
Josh
be a heel
is already
with Don Callis.
Based on those Mercedes Moné comments, which, by the way, I do not associate with Mercedes fans, so please do not come after me.
Yeah, don't come for me, man.
Go after that guy.
At me.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. Josh. I do agree she is hot. I agree that she is hot, but she's an okay wrestler.
She's okay. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen. Josh.
Don't get rid of me. I didn't associate with those comments.
I'm trying to make Josh the only guy on there. Josh, yeah, you messed up, Josh.
I'm not saying that she's. I'll say this: she's a better wrestler than Charlotte.
Wait, whoa, you just redeemed
yourself.
Hold on, are you saying the Mercedes is a better wrestler than Charlotte?
Oh yeah.
So is either one of them better than Bayley?
No, Bayley's better.
Anyone better than Io Sky?
Io Sky's okay.
What about Kairi Sane?
I love Kairi. Kairi's better. Kairi's better.
So we see where Josh's bias is. Okay.
Kairi's better.
Josh is virus. He's virus. He's
virus.
He's biased.
Okay, you redeemed yourself with the Charlotte comment.
It's been a long day, man. It's been a long day.
I understand.
Chris Statlander loses to Sky Blue. The match is pretty good. And the match that wasn't so good, we got Atlantis Jr. versus the Lionheart, Chris Jericho.
I nearly fell asleep during this match.
I am so fucking bored with Chris Jericho.
I'm going to give this match a straight up D because there are so many fucking botches in this match. Jericho wins the match with the Lion Tamer. Because Atlantis Senior throws a towel in. They all pose together at the end.
Listen, the kid's a fine wrestler.
Yeah, but working Jericho was like,
I didn't care.
I've watched his matches with CMLL. Like, he's like the welterweight champion of CMLL. The belt looks great. He's one of those. He's a very fast paced guy. And to wrestle Jericho tonight was like watching a dog trot through quicksand. Like, it just didn't work. It just did not work. I was like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'm gonna go get a drink.
Chris Jericho needs to fucking stop.
Yeah,
he needs to stop. This is the circle jerk of him, like on TV weekly, practically. It's just, it's gotta stop. I'm glad that at least that he didn't use Judas, because if he used Judas, I was muting the fucking show, because I cannot take it anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I've gotten really bored of Jericho.
And he's like a fun sucker, like I said before. He sucks the fun out of my AEW watching, because I just don't want...
I thought you were going somewhere else with that, thank God. Yeah, I get the match of solid D. So then we have the final word.
Oh, before we go to that, I want to say, Shane, my wrestling points are always weird. Okay, first of all, dude, you haven't been watching AEW for months, and you used to criticize me for criticizing AEW. I've been watching it longer than you have now lately, buddy.
True statement. True statement.
Oh, we gotta get the
And you're just saying my points are weird. Well, here's the thing: you just don't like it because I'm honest.
Wow, the gauntlet has been. Hey.
No.
That's what we think about that. So yeah, let's go ahead and talk about.
You may not like my answer.
The EVPs go into Sting's locker room. And they walk in there, and there's nothing but black bats hanging from the ceiling.
So I found
that should have been a cue. That should have been a cue.
When I saw that dress room, that reminded me of the final Nitro. You remember that Sting promo? That's
what, yeah, people said that was what that was a callback to.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. I was just waiting for like Sting just to pop out and say, "Surprise, surprise," and just attack him. Like you said,
surprise, motherfucker.
Somebody, Sting. I saw somebody on Twitter say that they should have had a mirror in the dressing room.
And Sting be in the mirror?
Ultimate Warrior spot.
Oh my God. I'm mad now. They should have done that.
Oh my God. That would have been so horrible.
I would have loved that. Tony Schiavone just say, so like, oh, horrible. Great, we're revealing this storyline again.
So I really hope they do this. And like, this is just me. But I hope Sting and Darby Allin are the main event against the Bucks on this pay-per-view on Sunday in Greensboro. And I hope that AEW brings an old school WCW or an old school NWA like setting, like the very first Clash of Champions. I hope they make the arena old school like that for Sting's last match in AEW. I hope they do that shit.
That'd be so great. Should Sting come out with his old theme song called The Man Called Sting?
If Sting dyes his hair blonde and wears the fucking the surfer Sting outfit. Oh my God, dude, I will fucking mark out so hard.
Same.
So hard. You could be calling me Marcus K. Fabian, because I will mark the fuck out. So we get this whole the Bucks come down to the ring, you know, Sting's music's playing. They look up, they can't find Sting. First off, they beat Darby Allin up. Ric Flair come down, styling and profiling, and attacks the Bucks.
There better not be any fucking shenanigans with Ric Flair on Sunday. Leave that alone. I don't want to see Sting. I don't want to see a Ric Flair turn. I don't want to see him get involved. I don't want to see any of that.
Well, he already did the gimmick tonight, so... Like, they're not going to rehash the gimmick and have him change again next week.
You never know.
Tony Khan's not that smart.
It's Ric Flair.
Yeah. But I think that, honestly, this fucking segment, man, oh, my God. When Darby Allin was in the crowd and with the Sting mask on, and this guy's walked up and started grabbing the Sting mask off and shit, and it wasn't anyone, Darby jumped over the guardrail and started beating their ass. Then they started beating Darby's ass. And then Flair comes down. And then they gave Flair the softest, most gentlest, like just
they were afraid it was going to turn into
slow motion nut shot. It was like a slow motion nut shot, and I was like,
"We got a dusty discharge."
Yeah, they were like, we hope he doesn't fucking drop dead from this. Gave him the low blow, then they started beating him up, and then out of nowhere, Sting comes from the ceiling.
Sting from the rafters.
We were talking about that. I'm like, I don't think they would do that again, considering the whole Owen Hart situation, how close they are with the Harts, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, there's Sting.
I'm sure that they talked to Owen Hart's family about that.
Question. When was the last time Sting did that?
The late 90s.
It was like one of the last WCW shows.
Because I don't remember when the last time he did that.
When did the Owen Hart thing happen? 99, right?
99. It was like 99, yeah.
So I don't think that they did any more of those spots.
They did that after that. No, I don't think any arena in the world would have fucking justified doing that again after that situation, which made it weird that they did it here for Sting coming down.
I was gonna say, I think Sting did that one time during TNA. I think he did do that one time in TNA.
I mean, the rafters at TNA in that little building, it was like jumping off a stepladder. I mean,
yeah, I know, but I know that's not the same. But it's just, I'm trying to remember the official last time. But yeah, I wouldn't do stuff like that anymore afterwards.
Yeah, I just didn't see them doing it again, but they did it. And I'm like, okay, there we go. They did it.
It looks amazing. And everyone is marked out for that.
I marked out. But Sting beat the shit out of them. They stood there. They stood tall. Sting hit the Scorpion death drop on Nick. Matt rolls out of the ring. And that's the way the show ends.
So, I love, by the way, and I mean, you know the Bucks more, so I'm sure you're appreciating this more. I love how in the past few weeks, since they've developed his EVP character,
mm-hmm.
Matt calls Nick the hothead.
Yes, when in reality, it's Nick that's the nice one and Matt's the asshole, but it's crazy. And I think that the reason why they're doing that is because people that know them know the difference.
Yeah.
And that's the rib. You know, it's like a lot of people didn't realize that the rib was with Virgil. WWF named him Virgil because they were ribbing Dusty Rhodes, whose actual real name was Virgil, who was booking WCW at the time. So when Virgil went over to WCW, they were ribbing WWE by naming him Vincent.
You didn't know Dusty's real name was Virgil?
Virgil Runnings. Yeah, Virgil.
I know. I knew that was his real name, but I didn't know that they named Virgil Virgil.
Yeah, that was the whole. That was the whole rib.
It was Ted DiBiase's idea. Since him and Dusty were just close personal friends, he's like, "I'm gonna play a rib on Dusty. I'm gonna call you Virgil."
Yep. And then when he went to WCW, they were like, "Let's play a rib on Vince McMahon. We'll name you Vincent."
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, wrestling ribs. So, ladies and gentlemen, that right there was the final dynamite for the man called Sting, the icon, the showstopper, the main event. It's showtime, folks, because live on Sunday, AEW Revolution, Sting and Darby Allin defend the AEW World Tag Team Championships against the EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson.
I'm excited for this because I'm glad Sting gets to go out on his terms, not forcibly like what happened in his WWE run.
Yeah.
I'm happy at least Sting could.
A lot of people are saying that too. A lot of people have been after that turnbuckle bomb by Seth Rollins, people thought Sting would never be able to wrestle or walk again.
Yeah.
And now that he's having this final match, it's going to be emotional. He's
jumping off of 20-foot ladders.
Right? Yeah.
And platforms like crazy.
His whole career, he didn't do stupid shit. And he's like, I'm going to be safe. Yeah, the last year of his career, hey, let me jump off this fucking bridge with no parachute. Why? Because, you know, why not?
Let me do this ladder spot.
The kids are doing it. They're calling it a spot. I'm going to do the spot. Make me an old spot monkey. Yeah, that's what that is.
I am thankful and honored to have been able to watch him wrestle a couple of times. Because I never got to see Undertaker wrestle. I never got to see, you know, a lot of the old time people from back then wrestling. So to be able to go to a Grand Slam, a UBS Arena show, and see the legitimate icon Sting wrestle I think I've seen him wrestle like three times or four times. And that is an honor for me. It really is. Yeah. I'm really glad that I was able to see that.
You know, I've been to like several WrestleManias. I've been to like a bunch of NWA shows. Like I went to a Great American Bash. Like I went to, I've done my tour of wrestling shows, but for me, my favorite of all time show is going to be the AEW Dynamite here in Portland, Oregon, where Sting wrestled his last match in Portland. That was fucking awesome.
I was happy to see Sting wrestle there.
It was great. Sting. I went down to the catering and Sting was there. He walked by and I just looked at him. He turned around and he says, "Thanks for watching me," and walked away. And I was like, "Oh my god, like the motherfucker, like Sting, like you just talked to me." Like,
yeah.
I don't mark out for wrestlers because we all do the same thing. But like Sting's more than a wrestler. Sting's like
You can't help by the little kid inside. You're thinking like, "This is the guy I grew up watching." Like you're just excited to see him. You can't help but mark out.
And did you guys read the clip that I sent you guys about the journal? That Darby wrote.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't read that yet. No,
dude, go read it. It's so fucking heartfelt, dude. Like I read it and I was like, wow, I gotta share this with the guys. Yeah, Wrestling Journal. That's what it is.
I read.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Drew, you and I, we'll talk about that on the news on Saturday. We'll talk about the news.
Or tomorrow.
We're gonna do the midweek news. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here.
Wrestled twice, and that was awesome.
It was. It is. Thank you for joining us here on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. We will see you guys when we see you. Hopefully, we'll see you on Friday.